determine whether we have sufficient utilization within those schools to handle that issue.
And then within that, based on, let's say, the 25 students, they then project that X amount are going to come in as high school students, middle school students, and elementary school students, not necessarily 25 seats necessary in an elementary school. So they stratify where they're going to end up going, even in that 25.
So
to determine what's out there.
When the developer is possibly paying a certain amount based on the number of
students generated by the number of units,
that number is regardless of the overpopulated, underpopulated, that is figured out later.
It would be in situations where it's overpopulated, not underpopulated.
And the developer can't walk in and say to us, I object because you have a charter school in that community that's under-enrolled, and I'll make sure our students go there. That's what they're saying, they don't count.
That's the whole issue.
The assumption is it's public schools, traditional public schools.
That's the whole issue of the impact fee.
Well, and that's why when we're talking about the planning, and we're talking about, and we have a developer that is talking about, is coming before us, what have you, it just seems like this issue that has come before us before regarding the inclusion of charter school and private school is a separate issue. I mean, it doesn't, because they're paying no matter what on the whole number.
Well, not only that, but you can't guarantee the school's going to be open tomorrow. You can't guarantee that there'll be a school there to offer a student a spot.
Well, no, and in fact, we actually see that charter schools are closed.
The school board of Broward County has to offer a student a spot.
Right.
The charter for schools close up business and go home tomorrow, and you've got 50, 100, 200 kids out of school.
Right.
They're going to end up in the traditional public schools.
We always have to keep our doors open.
Yes.
No, which is good.
And the fact is that you may choose to send your child today to a private school.
And then tomorrow.
Sell your house tomorrow, and you move in, and they're sending their child.
No, and I'm glad for that clarification, because every time that, this is only, I think, the second or third that I've seen something presented to us where it had in boldface or some kind of separation, charter school and private school, and when it stands out, it stands out.
Yep.
But that's the whole reason why this student generation rate is so important, because at the end, it relates to what is potentially charged to a developer by way of impact fee, which then gets spread across the sale product to end buyers. So that's where it all factors all the way through. And what you may think you're going to build, what folks thought they were going to build in 2005, changed based on what they're going to do now. They've rode the wave all the way down, and now they're going to change the mix because what they thought they were going to build that was going to do something before is now going to be different. So that's why when you potentially see numbers change,
right,
from what there was, what there was allotted to it, what they proposed, and what they're doing now, even though nothing was ever built, you see a positive or a negative number, it's based on those changes.
Which is the irony of it, at least from my perspective, because I want to see more precise numbers, so developers aren't having to pay what is not the reality, but in fact, if you did that, you would not be able to take into consideration those changes between schools, charter, private, to back to public.
And to your point, if you're representing a developer who's coming before all of the agencies and has to write checks for all of these fees, in reality, you want them to find the umbrella formula that covers any and all scenarios, but not to the point where now they've overpaid for something, but yet they're not quite sure what the market is, because like you just said, between 05 and now, it's changed, and maybe this product is not what's going to sell anymore, now it's something else. So you need a crystal ball, but they've got to do it the way they're required to
real
do
time.
It.
Real time. Got to be done in real time with whatever the factors are real
and
time.
And at the end of the day, these are things that are going to get built in the future when you need them today. So I mean, that becomes part of the issue as well.
Thank you. And the issue of the crystal ball, I guess in some sense, is platting, correct?
Right.
Because that platting, then it is what it is.
Right.
It may have been something at land use.
Right.
It may have been something else at zoning. Right. Through time, as the mayor mentioned.
Once you
and then
commit
at
to the
time
project,
of plat,
well done.
That is what it is, and that's when they really assess what's happening.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
we have two more topics, and I'm going to skip ahead to the vision topic real quick before people start to party again, just to give you all an opportunity for 2 or 3 minutes. We brought up some things earlier about having planning council engage and stuff. Is there any other hot topics you would like to see the planning council address? Yes, Mr. Baskin.
Madam Chair, I think we don't do enough to understand climate change.
Okay.
I really, truly think that it comes up piecemeal to us. Not an ad hoc group per se, but I think that's one of the things that we really need to address and understand.
Well, and we just adopted a proposed, I don't use the word element, but text for the Briar Plant.
Actually, the county did adopt a climate change element, and then into our goals, objectives, and policies.
We're building that through to our stuff now, but.
Right, so that's adopted, and it'll be effective next week or the week after, the 21st around.
But I think to his point, what I'm still is, and it kind of ties back to beginning to Mary's point, climate change has to do obviously with sea level rise, with global warming, with, call it what you want, with the islands in Fort Lauderdale sinking all of a sudden, or being flooded, however you want to look at it. You just want to say, well, like they always tell us, you knew you were living near an airport, what's the matter with you? Well, you knew you were living on an island, what's the matter with you? But at any rate, the point is how does that tie in to what we do on a regular basis? When we're looking at land use changes, and to her point about flooding and water, to his point about climate change, which affects all that, how is it rippling through what it is we do? So I think that's something we should definitely take a look at.
And just speaking to that, actually, the amendments that the goals, objectives, and policies that were just adopted, when the land use plan amendments that you're going to see from now forward are going to be evaluated on a priority planning area map. So is this area projected to be in a priority planning area? And if it is, then how is the municipality and or developer planning for that event or that happening?
One of the issues I had with that is we used a 2-foot sea level rise. And a lot of other people are using 3, 4, and 5, just to understand it. And I think we're falling short on that, because if you look at the 5-year, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's the what if. And I don't think we're doing enough to really understand that and understand the changes that have to happen just in case.
Well, I mean, I think one thing that we could do is we could have the county staff come back in, because they have that data. I mean, the two-foot sea level rise that's being planned for as part of this round, the county staff has prepared the other information, and it's available and it's out there. So perhaps a presentation maybe like early summer, late spring, early summer, on one of the agendas, we can invite them to come back and make another presentation, so maybe you as a board can figure out what you can do and what you want to do moving forward.
You know, be curious for me, and I'm going way out on a limb here because I know how we feel about attacking or attaching or asking county commissioners or favoring one over the other or beating up on one or something. But you know, I know, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say Commissioner Jacobs. I don't know if she's vice mayor or mayor, what she is. She's mayor now. Okay. It might be behooving us because I know I served on the climate change task force with her, also the water resource task board. You know, she's really knowledgeable, and she's kind of been the one kind of leading the county through its efforts. And it might be worth us to have her attend one of our meetings and give a presentation of how she views it from a county commissioner's perspective, how what the county's doing every day relative to redevelopment and the land use plan, how we might want to have some ideas of what to modify or change. And therefore, we're kind of working together on it, which would be kind of nice. So maybe we can do that.
So I think maybe then it would be extend an invitation to Mayor Jacobs and to probably Jennifer Corrado's group.
Gerardo, right?
You know, she's the climate change task force liaison.
And possibly even you might want to include Dr. Gassman, because I'm going to tell you now.
Dr. Corrado's
group. Okay, well, water resources and the climate change all go hand in hand at some point, so. Yes.
No, just to add to that, one of the things Commissioner LaMarca brought up is how do we pay for it? And I think he had a valid point when he said that.
Right.
Something we should discuss at the same time.
Everything costs. Going green costs. It definitely is a cost factor, so that's a good point.
One of the things the City Commission discussed Tuesday was the first hearing of two for the American Golf Course and the Corwood Country Club. And up until now, that area for many, many years didn't have anything on it. It was completely pervious, regardless of where the water table is down below. And it's inland, it's not on water, but now they want to put 37 homes on it. And depending on the size
now,
of the lot.
Sorry, that's just on the American Golf Course side, because they're going to keep Coral Ridge.
They're keeping Coral Ridge.
But Coral Ridge is private.
They're keeping Coral Ridge, and they don't count that on their
Because it's private.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Just so you know, I grew up on Northeast 25th Avenue.
I used to
fish in the lakes there and eat at the 19th hole on my friend Candy Keats' dad account.
Well,
but that's
it's one of those
point.
Things where as they're planning for this,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to do everything they have to comply with ULDR and Broward Planning Council and what have you. And I'm all for it. If that's what they think is going to sell, great. But people seem to forget that that pervious area right now has been taking in any kind of runoff, and as the mayor had mentioned about the Davy Golf Course, I didn't realize that that golf course now contributed to the pervious area for all the construction work. I'm not out there, I'm not up on all the things that they planned for there, but any decision that they make, we had a land use plan at FX Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport a while back. Right now, that's all been just flat and undeveloped and unimproved. That's a place for the water to go. And as soon as we start talking about 1 or 2 inches difference or 2 to 4 inch difference, that really impacts it because that water all has to go somewhere in a very short period of time.
Now, I will tell you something interesting in local government that I found out, which still shocks me because I know it's nice to say, but I don't know if it's practically done. Theoretically, and Andy could probably correct me if he's familiar with this, under the law, every property owner is responsible for the water on their property.
1 inch over the entire area to be contained.
They're responsible. They're not allowed to let it run off into the neighborhood, the community, a neighbor, or anybody else. Now, that's easily said, differently done. I will tell you something I've seen out in Miramar as I go to work every day that I love. A lot of their new developments are required to put in what I would call a water element, which I'm sure they're using for runoff to capture, to drain. But what they've done is they've made it a ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And now you get the reeds, you get the water's there, right, and it's coming in, but you get the reeds, you get the egrets, you got turtles. I mean, literally, I have 145th Street. I watched turtles cross from where the water plant was in Miramar across the street to go to their new element because it's become so attractive and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about, the open spaces last year. I would encourage that. So one of the things is, if I were the city of Fort Lauderdale, I would tell this developer, I need you to put some water elements around this development to capture all your water so it doesn't bleed into the neighborhoods. But more importantly, I would like to make those naturescapes or ecosystems. Right. And I think you create a better development. I think it adds value to the homes. I think it adds value to the property. But I also think it does good for the ecology and for the environment. And I think it's a good way to maybe, and that's what we're talking about, urban infill lots. Can we use those for little either mini parks, pocket parks, as I like to call them, but with water elements to start capturing? And those are horizontal wells, because we're all running out of water.
I agree.
it's an interesting concept. So, yeah, and we can maybe talk about all that, going with the climate change thing.
It's all connected.
Yes, that's my point. And it's so big, I'm not sure we know how to get our hands around it and thread it through. And that's the challenge I think we're going to face. Anything else on what you'd like to see? Go ahead.
One issue, it's minor, but it's something that I've got a pet peeve on, is cycling. And I know you're Sturmer. You have to deal with this on a daily basis, but it's something, you know, whatever we can do to help. I'm pro-cyclist, but at the same time, there's some bad cyclists out there.
The problem is, it's the proverbial two-way street.
I know.
Those in four-wheel vehicles get frustrated, just like those in two-wheel vehicles get frustrated, and it's an education. Because of the way we're designed, everybody ends up out there. We have, you know, past 2 weekends tours coming through, which is wonderful, but on a weekly basis and on a daily basis, the number of riders is immense. And we've actually used some of our law enforcement to slow them down and have conversations with them. The same way we've done the same thing with motorists. We've actually ticketed some bicyclists. We hate doing it, but it's something you need to do. We are also in the process of doing a major education campaign, and we just did a whole bicycle plan for our city, and we're out seeking national certification for it. But bicyclists think they are, and I know a lot of them, they're entitled to the roadway, regardless of the 3-foot or 5-foot bicycle lane. They think the travel lanes are for them too. And at the end of the day, hypothetically, even if they're right, they lose against a four-wheel vehicle. They're never going to win. So my frustration is, at the end of the day, they may be right, but they're going to lose. Yes, cars need to be a bit more tolerant. But what we're going to find is there's more education going on. More and more cities are redeveloping part of their thoroughfares to provide for bike lanes. Part of it is bicyclists, I think, need to be more open-minded to when and where they're riding at what times. Blowing through school zones where parents are park dropping off kids, not realizing doors are going to open, and then scream at the parents, "You're in my bike lane." That's just adjust your ride 15 minutes one way or the other, and you're out of the school zone. Mm-hmm. So part of it is just the reality of where we are. The weather's great, folks are doing it. It can be a win-win. There just needs to be a whole lot more education about it.
It's becoming such a
No, that's okay.
It's becoming such a large recreational item, in my would say that. I think it has to be looked at the big picture and how we can make it easier for both.
Well, and I think one of the keys to is what you both just touched on, and that's bicyclists have to remember, even if they have a bike lane, they're on a road, like a car, they have to follow the traffic laws. And if it's not mandatory by law, it should be made mandatory. And they typically don't. They will blow through the lights because they don't see an oncoming car. I, as a car, have to stop and wait till my light is green. They will blow through, and that, you know, if they eventually all travel in the same manner, I think you'll find more harmony, so to speak. You know, but again, it's like motorcycles. They're on the main lanes, but nobody sees them. And that's why you have watch out for motorcycles. Same thing with bicyclists. A lot of car, you know, especially if you're texting and talking on your cell phone while you're driving, you don't see them. So that's a big battle. But to your bigger point, I think where Complete Streets is coming up, Complete Streets is talking about multi-mobility on a street and also cutting and carving the streets. It will slow traffic down. And I'm fine with that, but I know a lot of Floridians are going to get a little testy when this comes around. Oh, it's about expanding medians and landscaping them and putting the cutouts for mass transit, but it ends up slowing traffic down, which to me is not always a bad thing. And that, I think, will help with more harmony with bicycles and, you know, skateboarders and walkers and whatever you got going on. But that's coming up this current year.
What's actually more interesting is watching the reaction between bicyclists and either walkers, runners, or rollerbladers who are using what they perceive, what's called a bike lane.
Right.
And them yelling at people who are running in a bike lane saying, this is my lane.
Go get on the sidewalk and take the walker out.
That, watching that is really ugly. And you're saying, you're kidding me, right? But it's
the cycling community has to police themselves better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I like to use the analogy of scuba diving, because that's a self-regulated industry.
Yep.
Same thing with cycling. I think it has to somehow happen. Yep. I think that's the answer. Education is obviously, but these guys are on all these crazy drugs. I hate to throw it out there, but they're all pumped up as they're going 30 miles an hour, and they make the wrong decision.
We've actually reached out to the biking community to create an alliance, mm-hmm. and to interact with them and to say, hey, we're more than happy to help. You need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And it's starting to work, but there's a difference between the casual rider and the it depends which rider you're talking about, because the casual rider gets it, the competitive 6 o'clock in the morning rider doesn't much get it.
I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you before Sarah leaves. Thank you all for coming. I've certainly learned a lot today, and I think we have some good direction. And we could stay and talk some more about the vision if people want to stay. The traffic analysis, we'll just save for another day. We've kind of touched on it earlier, and that
sure.
is...
If we have a late planning council agenda, it probably
we'll
be,
put on
I
there.
Could probably put it on there. Especially since there's so few members
left. Eventually, I think you need to tie it to Complete Streets, because Complete Streets is going to, to me, drive a different formula.
It's going
to
take some time.
Yes, I know.
So
we'll do this first, and then,
But Andy's memo was really good. I mean, that's the best explanation I've seen, so thank you.
Good job.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It only be very good at that.
But, you know, it's hard to understand, and you did a nice job of laying it out and getting it so it's understandable.
And they look at you like, you're the one that's crazy, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Any other issues for future vision? If not, enjoy lunch, hang around, go.
Thank you.
We'll stay adjourned, whatever works.